Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Bite the Apple, where we are taking a bite out of the apple of truth, and we are no longer in the Garden of Eden. Joining me today is Kevin Tucker, my guy Pasquale, and let's kick things off, Kev. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very interesting few months, I think, to start this year. I think the real thing is, I think Americans in general are beginning to realize freedom and privacy are very mixed and there's a lot of confusion on like how much freedom do we have and how much privacy rights we have. So I think there's a lot of interesting things that are going on, and I think we can dive into that today, but also like go over the history, and we have like decades building up to this moment. So I think we're in a very exciting, very confusing time in society, and I know you have a lot to share today, Nate.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, the change in politics we have now, there's definitely a push for people to gain their privacy back. So I want to start off with a bit of the history. Back in 1942, this is where it all really began, on paper at least, we had the FBI beginning black bag operations. Either you guys have any knowledge of that?
Nah.
That was like around like World War II era, right? So like right after World War II, you know, we started pushing the envelope of how much we could get away with. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of?
Yeah, a bit. So these operations began as a way for them to gather intelligence, the FBI. But in reality, it was a complete violation of, you know, anyone's constitutional rights in the U.S. It started with them. They profile people to target, and from there, they would, you know, break into buildings, send them fraudulent mail as a way to get evidence from them. Safe cracking. They had tons of different methods of gaining this evidence, but it was all violations of, you know, what we deem today our privacy.
Our basic rights.
So basically what they would do is they'd be like, oh, we don't like this individual. Oh, we don't like this business. Run in literally with black bags.
Yeah.
Because it was the 40s, right? So they would collect info with black bags and run out like the ice.
Exactly. We got the goods, boys. Let's crush these
idiots. We got the candy.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they began profiling you, you were basically subject to whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Manipulation, anything.
And there's nothing to stop it. This is the 40s.
It wasn't until 30 years later, in 1972, was when it was deemed unconstitutional. So for 30 years, they're breaking into your buildings, stealing all your info. I mean, that's before the age of, you know, like, you know, real advanced computer tech and everything. So this is before they could really surveil you and like look into what you're on your computer.
In almost like an incognito way. It was more in your
this
face.
This was like boots on the ground, hands getting dirty. We're going in the building, we're looking for, you know, papers, everything.
Yeah, and from the 40s, a lot of it was, there's a lot of mistrust in like, are there Nazis in the country? Are these Japanese, you know, it could have been a lot of the Japanese, because at the time when Pearl Harbor happened, there's a lot of mistrust, and is there insiders within the country that are planning stuff? So that makes sense, and I think it's like that fine line of like, how excessive do we have to go? And the U.S. spent so much on the war, they're like, we won this, we can do anything. And I think that mindset from then still carries to now.
And
kind of that strong arm tactic.
Yeah, the strong arm like, approach. Yeah.
That whole excessive idea you're talking about is completely true, because they never informed any of these subjects of their surveillance, and the majority of them, like huge majority of them, were never arrested or anything. They literally just wanted to profile everybody and get them in a database.
Yeah, so that was like the black bag was the first databasing of U.S. citizens.
It was the first known operation of the U.S. spying on its own citizens. First known operation. It wasn't until, you know, 2001, when the Patriot Act came around, that they once again, you know, stripped us of all this privacy.
Yeah. I mean, so let's go back. So 2001, so 1942, they start their first formal operation. 60 years pass about. And then we had the Twin Towers and 9/11 occur.
Yep.
And that opened Pandora's box for the government to be like, oh, the citizens are demanding anything from us, and we can literally pitch them anything and they're going to eat it.
Yeah, you got to really put it in perspective of, you know, what was everybody thinking in that time? Yeah. You know, back in World War II, everybody was scared of U.S. Japanese citizens. Everyone was scared of it was mass hysteria. You know, 2001, people are scared of Muslims and Islamics in this country, which is, you know, mass hysteria again.
For what reason, too?
Yeah, it was a lot of, you know, government-created threats that the public believed. So, the Patriot Act, you know, I don't know if you guys know exactly.
I know a little bit about it, but it's pretty funny. We're fresh out of school, right? So, they'll, like, tap on, like, the unit, or early in the school year, they'll do the 9/11 history unit, which is great. I think everyone needs to be informed of that important day in American history. But they'll be like, oh, the Patriot Act occurred. Oh, yeah, it just ensured the government could, you know, do proper surveillance. That, you know, that's the extent
of it. Proper surveillance.
Yeah, proper surveillance.
What is proper surveillance?
So, the Patriot Act.
In their eyes. What does that mean, right?
The education system just kind of keeps it vague. I think intentionally, and we can go down that rabbit hole soon.
Yep.
But.
So that bill passed through the Senate and the House with no amendments and a huge majority vote. It passed with basically, like, nobody actually looked
into
it.
No hesitation, yeah.
And it was deemed, you know, as a way to prevent terroristic threats within the U.S., but in reality, they just began, once again, profiling their whole entire country.
So it modernized that black bag operation. So
instead
of just running with black bags, you know, we have a lot more technology, a lot more tools at our disposal to investigate whoever we want at whenever we want.
And they didn't need they don't need search warrants. They would get search warrants, but all they needed to do was classify you or a group of people as a terrorist organization, which required zero filings. And then they go to the judicial court and get a free warrant by just saying that you guys are terrorists.
Yeah, that's crazy, because what is terrorism, right? I think we're in an age where, you know, terrorism is multidimensional in terms of where you live, what country you fall under, and then in the U.S. So it's the U.S.'s definition of terrorism, and that was vastly different from 9/11 till now, especially, and vastly different post-World War II. So who is terrorism? That's literally the question that was going on.
And they classified every group, you know, Farmers for America, like, you know, different small patriotic groups were classified as terrorists during this time. And it's because they were, you know, forward thinking, creative thinking, outside the box, just trying to, you know, preserve American culture, got them classified as terrorists.
This discussion could be considered terrorism. Yeah. we're trying to wrap our heads around their understanding of terrorism and their operations. So exposing basic public knowledge could be considered terrorism too, right? It's kind of a mess.
Like, what do they want us to hear? What do they want us to know?
If you don't like what the government was saying back then and you spoke out, you're a terrorist.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
And hopefully that's not how it is today, but seems like it the way, you know.
Yeah, seriously.
So here's where I'd like to kick in a little bit of the conspiracy.
All right, got it.
So this may go a little off the walls here, but, you know, try to follow.
We're trying to bite the apple, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Poisonous fruit, though.
So why did the Patriot Act, why did this pass so close to 9/11?
Yeah, so what's the timeline? When did it actually pass again?
The exact timeline is, you know, 9/11 occurred. The U.S. responded in Afghanistan with dropping bombs.
Yep.
And then right after that, about 9 days later, I believe, the Patriot Act passed.
So within weeks of the incident, so we're talking late September 2001, early into Bush's first term.
Yep.
Yeah, and he was a new president, so he was, and then he also had Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was definitely a pro-Patriot Act. Mm.
But why would this bill passed with flying colors and no amendments if the black bag operations were deemed unconstitutional just 30 years prior?
Yeah.
Like, this has been set in American history that doing this is unconstitutional. 30 years later, it passes with zero thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, right? Because it's like the law and what's legal and what's unconstitutional changes based on time. And the law is really just interpretation. The Constitution was designed so people can interpret what's constitutional, what's not. It was open-ended, but it's too open-ended for a modern society where you can, oh, this event happened, we're going to do this, and as long as we have a judicial system that's all backing it, and we have enough propaganda through the media apparatus, they're not going to say no, and if you push back, you look like an idiot, because 9/11 was terrible. Let's not get that wrong.
Yeah.
But when you have a catastrophic event like that happen, people want order. People rely on a higher power or a big force to kind of regulate, and that tends to lead to overreach, which also then leads to just events like this, where even the judicial system isn't, there's no checks and balances.
Yeah.
All three branches of the government were united in like, yes, let's do this. And most people, rightfully so, want that, but then they don't realize that the real impact comes actually years later, where they apply that law that everyone had an opinion at that time to now that doesn't really best fit it. And, you know, that gets worked out over time, but the damage is irreversible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You can go to court all you want, but you can't undo the doing.
Yep. And I did have to correct one thing. Is that was 19 days later. Not
19, so it's a few weeks, not even.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, what'd that do? That just creates a bunch of distrust amongst mm-hmm. your population immediately. If you know that... If you hear that bill passes, that, you know, we're going to start looking for all these terrorists within our own country, everyone thinks that they're going to, you know, oh, I can spot a terrorist myself. Like, it creates this distrust amongst the population completely on our own turf. Why do we need such distrust after we already just suffered a catastrophic event? You know, we don't need to not trust one another within our own country. We need to all group together and bind against this idea of, you know, there's terrorists attacking us, not the terrorists are amongst us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It just increases angst between the people, and it's just...
Yeah.
It's not
worth it. I have, like, a story from, like, my father, where he worked at a software company, right? Mm-hmm. And there was somebody who was of Muslim, you know, he was Muslim, and he got investigated because he was Muslim, and he was a software... He was a... A contributing American to society, doing software development, and they were just profiling left, right, and center.
Yeah, yeah.
If you happen to look like a terrorist on that airplane, or airplanes, they were just profiling you, assuming that you could be someone that does that next. And that's crazy. So there's really no actual backing of who are some, you know, true targets. Like Osama bin Laden, like, he literally made a video saying, like, yeah, we did it, like, yeah that was us. Like, that's clear evidence, concrete evidence. So they were just basing it off of claims, and, like, Americans were just filing. We were literally just all ratting on each other. Mm-hmm. We basically assumed the public would sniff one another out, and that's what happened. And they just had a huge database of people they could collect info from.
Yeah, and, I mean, really put yourself in that scenario. Imagine you're working at a tech company. And you see, like, you know, a few of your coworkers get pulled out to be investigated because of their religion, because of how they look, because they're advanced in tech. You know, those are all red flags that the government to profile you. But, you know, within your own workplace, like, that creates, like, distrust amongst your own workers.
They just had no regard for... And it's, like, that's also a real turnoff. Like, why would any... immigrant or anyone of, you know, a minority want to work and be a productive member of society if they're just going to get targeted and racially profiled and, you know, religiously profiled. And it also, like, totally goes against the freedom of religion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think every single religion, whether, regardless of what you practice, there's always that 1% or less extremism built into the religion. Whether you be Muslim, Christian, Jewish, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always a small,
unavoidable
extremist group within the religion that uses a religion as a proxy to go about their business.
Yeah.
And all religions have terrorists within them. And let's get me straight here. It's a very, very small subset of group that can ruin it for all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
Absolutely.
Literally happened here. It was a small group of extremists. And then the whole religion was grouped into this category, which is not accurate.
I think that artificial hysteria that they created just was a way for them to get the U.S. citizens to support all of their warmongering.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was,
you know, you're going to support everything your government's doing to stop terrorism if, you know, you think there's terrorists around you. Yeah? Like, that's a scary threat.
It's technically, like, its own terrorism against its own people. You're using that fear factor, you're using those negative emotions to cause that, like, anxiety in people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then take advantage of it to then be able to be like, you guys can't do what you want now. Like, I will be watching everything you do. And it's like having your mom looking over your shoulder for 20 years and you're like, I'm just trying to go get a drink, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly.
There's simpleton terms.
I mean, there was no grounds of, like, where we draw the line of what's too far. It was just, like, anything goes. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's destructive. On a long duration time frame,
mm-hmm.
that's when the society...
Because how many years has it been since it came out, too?
Yeah, like, they
it's
still...
It's 2001, it's been 24 years.
They still use the Patriot Act today.
It expired in 2020.
Oh, I
like,
know.
Oh,
way.
We'll get there.
It expired.
Expired.
So
okay.
Now it's really that much more unconstitutional what they're doing, right?
Yeah,
yeah, just the new version.
Yeah.
They had a level
Patriot
up.
Act 2.0.
this is where...
The incognito mode. It's not really written anywhere.
That's the true black belt. So, this is where the rabbit hole gets a little deeper. You know, we just had Cash Patel get appointed the FBI director.
Close. It was like a one vote. It was close.
It was the last one we were trying to pass, and he got in. He got in. But now this is where the conspiracy, you know.
This
get
is
a little, get a little deep.
All right, let's go.
So if he releases the 9/11 documents and there is any sort of foul play, it will be seen as if, you know, the U.S., was only orchestrating this as an effort to spy on their own citizens.
Mm.
As a form of control and a form of, you know, getting their support in whatever war efforts they want. If 9/11 is any sort of foul play, it'll be the biggest violation of our rights we've ever seen in history.
And then the issue is you would be a terrorist for protesting it because you would be like, yo, you were supporting the events. It's such a complex issue that we as a society will not be able to approach it appropriately without at least ensuring that 30 to 40% of the population is outraged.
Yeah.
I think, hopefully, I mean, we don't have any more common sense, so let's take that word out of, that's like a block. that's blacklisted from this podcast. There's no more common sense anymore in terms of how people think, but... This whole media narratives are just spinning things and getting able to move in certain directions. I think lately the decentralization of media, I mean, you can take media such as this podcast anywhere you want and distribute it. There's just so many avenues, right? There's people saying there was rigged explosives in the buildings that went in a linear fashion.
Architects disproved it for years.
Yeah, there's all this clutter around the event, which is, no matter what happens, it was very tragic. People died. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But there's these 9/11 files. There's going to be so much movement and so much outrage and so much chaos that he's going to have to project. And he's seen the files. He knows what's in them.
Yeah.
So I think the real important thing that the Trump administration, regardless of where you stand politically, is I think as a country, we need to be willing to understand the harsh truths of reality. We got to be able to bite the apple like this podcast.
Exactly.
Right? We got to be able to face this stuff head on. And I think that's the real excitement, is we're willing to just face our own realities now.
Yep.
Rather than start running away from an inevitable problem. And I think this is going to be a very big event.
Yep. I think we're going back into a creative thought age for the next 4 years at least. You know, and people are going to be able to actually think for themselves again, and not just, you know, wait for what's
the flow.
You know, what should I be thinking right now? What's the smartest thing that I heard someone say in the past week? How can I repeat it like a parrot to somebody else?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's, yeah, no, and that too is also getting over the stigma of it's okay to say things that are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's why we really started the show, is like we're trying to be able to share with an audience some complex issues in a mature way, and also bring multiple sides to the table we're not just going to push right-wing agendas or left-wing agendas. We're going to try to mix them both and try to figure out, like, what's going on here.
Cause improve understanding.
At the end of the day, it's the 1% versus the 99%. Yep. The 1% with all the resources at their disposal versus 90% of us who just want a nice, peaceful life and don't really actually care to get caught up in all this stuff. But it does impact all of us, right?
Absolutely.
Can't avoid it.
It's unavoidable.
Now, them, you know, if 9/11 was any foul play, once again, them passing that Patriot Act just, you know, 19 days after they responded bombing Afghanistan, you know, why did they even pass that if they already responded at that point? If they knew all the, if they were bombing and they set these strikes, they know what they're targeting already. But the real benefit is complete control over your populace. You can, you know, pinpoint, create a thought and kill it before it can expand to anybody else and spread these ideas. You know, back then, if anyone was calling 9/11 a conspiracy, that shit was wiped off the internet. Wiped.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then that was also, I mean, you could disable somebody's career, their livelihood. It's still, to this day, it's very easy. If you have an independent thought and a group doesn't like it, you know, they can tell this company you're going to face penalties if you have this person operating under you. And, you know, it just strips. We've basically, in modern capitalist society, stripped anyone's ability to think freely and severely punish anyone who's just having a conversation at all. And that's no freedom of speech. That's just no freedom
of right of speech.
Oh, yeah. It's the First Amendment. I have an argument that the First Amendment is just there to make people think, oh, yeah, I have that freedom. No, you don't. At the end of the day, there's things in place that they can strip you from that at any given point in time, and you're the one that's going to have to face the consequences. Yep. And a court of law isn't going to stick up for you if you lost your job. That's on you. Mm-hmm. And that's really scary. And, you know, hopefully we're kind of swinging that pendulum back, and it seems like we're heading there, but at the end of the day, that's been ingrained for decades, since the 40s. Yep. Since people running in with black bags.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So it's, how can we unwind 80 years of that, but it's not going to be possible.
No, right. You can't. And the only way to, you know, you seriously need to hold accountable the people that created these surveillance ops on the United States citizens for violating our constitutional rights, and you need to put them in prison forever.
Yeah, right. But then again, you're not going to be able to put the people in prison that gave the people
power. Yeah, you're going to cut one head off the Hydra and it's going to grow back twice. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you seriously need to hold somebody accountable for these black bag operations, the Patriot Act, and all these violations of our constitutional rights. Because, sure, they deemed it unconstitutional. No one ate shit for it.
Yeah, No one. That's true. And then the crazy part is the people that will be able to hold those accountable, they're the ones that benefit the most from the Patriot Act.
We just let our intelligence agencies get away with everything.
Yeah, pretty much. And you can't go head on head on them. We're not encouraging any violence towards a three-letter agency.
Of course not.
They're so big that there's really no way.
You can't compete with their power.
Yeah.
You can't.
And it's unlimited.
Yep.
And that's what I think Patel brings a very excitement, is he understands from a civilian point of view, like, the importance of just having some boundaries.
Yep.
And by having some boundaries, actually everything gets better. And I think everyone, regardless of where you stand politically, whether you like, you know, Trump or not or whatever, let's just hope that the intelligence agencies, which actually matter to everyone, can get refined and kind of toned down on the aggravation towards U.S. citizens alone, because I guarantee there's a lot bigger problems outside of the U.S. than in the U.S.
And we're talking hundreds of thousands of employees in these agencies.
Yep.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And there's a reason, you know, Elon is sending out that same email he sent to all the Twitter employees. What do you do here? Give me 5 bullets on why you're important.
Mm-hmm.
It's because a lot of that shit is a bunch of, you know, fill-ins, people that are going to be there to support these bullshit operatives that should have never gone through.
Yep.
It's crazy. There's unlimited human capital at their disposal at any point in time to go after anything.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to beat 100,000 people you're not. Like, I mean, it's good that we have that in place when we need it, but it's just like how excessive it's used. It's just crazy.
That Patriot Act was never repealed and it expired in 2020. But, you know, as we know from Snowden and what he exposed to the U.S., you know, that surveillance is just becoming more powerful. It's not dwindling. They're not stopping. And another great example was, you know, Tucker Carlson went over to Russia in 2024 to interview Putin. He didn't tell anybody. And that information leaked from the intelligence agencies to places like the Washington Post, where they said, you know, oh, Tucker Carlson's going to Russia. They should have never known.
Hmm.
And it's not because Tucker Carlson's a terrorist, you know.
He's like, not scheming, he's not plotting.
No, it's because they surveil him heavily. Yeah. They surveil everybody that, you know, pushes an agenda that is dangerous to their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at that time, before he left Fox News, he had a kind of a right-wing, you know, more political theater show at 8 p.m. You know, he reported the news. You know, you have to sell a certain perspective, right?
Yep.
But the issue with what he was doing was he simply just wanted to have a conversation. And what's crazy is we freak out about a country like Russia, and then we're not allowing any journalists to just simply have a conversation with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, it's basically just propagating conflict in the world.
Well,
and
no, it's basically the U.S. saying we only want the information that our citizens know about Russia to come from our government and the communication that we have between our political figures. They don't want us to know what's going on over there. They've made Russia look like the enemy for, you know, countless years. They look like everything that's going on over there is, you know, warmongering, dangerous, like Russia's the enemy, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, the conversation he had with Putin was actually very mellow and very historical. It was...
Yeah, they tapped his, like, Signal or WhatsApp chat, right?
Yeah.
So that's another thing is every single social media network, every media network, when you get offered a blank check and sign the amount on it, and mm-hmm. we have access to any data, any company from a capitalist point of view isn't going to deny that.
Yep.
So we've also reached a stage of late stage capitalism where you need to rely on the government and you need to be willing to bid and do business with the government, even though the government shouldn't be handing blank checks. Like Meta, I mean, Zuckerberg on a recent podcast,
yep.
basically admitted, like, yeah, I was offered this much, my back was against the wall, and personally, I'm not going to take that heat, because he knows how big it is, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone knows, at the end of the day, if someone tells you you need to change this, you're going to listen, and that's scary.
Yeah, but why at all are our intelligence agencies connected to the media?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, why did that information about Carlson going to Russia leak through our intelligence agencies to direct media sources?
Hmm.
Is it because that some of them are friends with journalists within the media? I don't think so. I think our media goes hand in hand with our intelligence agencies, and I think that's how they push their agendas.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely, that's the case. And the thing is, I think a lot of people have woken up to that idea and that concept, and there's more of this like decentralized media approach that's going on. But then again, as long as there's enough nightly listeners from those media they still have a hand on, kind of like a God's hand, you know, that's gonna continue. And as long as enough few million people still buy into it, the problem's not going away.
It's just another form of control. It's we got, you know, 70,000 people that are gonna tune in every night to this news agency, so we're going to push this agenda, so that way those people are basically, you know, pushing the agenda for us after that.
And the media, I mean, that's how you make money in media, is you simply need that government check, right?
Yep.
This podcast does not have a government check, right? So we're inherently broke, right? We're going to be forever broke.
Oh, yeah.
We have these kind of conversations. So if you're listening, you know, subscribe, tune in, support.
Just listening's nice, you know.
Yeah, just listening, you know.
We don't need you to push our agenda.
Yeah.
We just want you to think.
Just a
simple combo,
you
to take a
yeah.
bite of the apple and think for yourself.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, it's chaos, right?
And just one way I want to wrap this up is, you know, in my opinion, the black bag operations never ended.
No.
They're still going on to this day. And it's just grown to a different level.
Yeah, I mean, there's new technology.
They don't need a safe pick. They don't need a lock pick your house and break in.
Just figure out the right.
They'll hack all your devices and find out exactly what they need to know. Because everybody's addicted to their cell phones.
And no one puts it down.
Oh, yeah, I have to hold on to it, right? And then I turn it on. You turn it off, right? But it's not off. You can't take the battery out. So your phone
that's
theoretically,
it's always connected.
It's always connected, even if it's totally off. There's still a way for it to receive information, right? I mean,
or not that send it out. You know,
the fact that you can power it up and your cellular's already working, or it's already scanning to connect to that Wi-Fi network.
Location services.
Oh, that's a great one, right? Like, it's always reading, it's always processing data, and it's always distributing it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that cell phones aren't free.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Who? Why haven't they?
It's another way.
Here's a good business. Just give everyone a free cell phone. Everyone liked the $1,200 COVID check.
Oh yeah.
Give everyone an iPhone. Give everyone a cellular plan, and then you have full...
Oh, you make plenty of money off the data. You don't need to sell the phones.
Oh, no. That's what's going to... I just gave them a $1 trillion idea.
So I think the only fix for this is if we audit these organizations and we hold some... I don't care if they're 80, 90 years old, we're holding these fuckers accountable. We have to.
Yeah.
And or else they're just these organizations are going to continue to grow and spy on us and label us accordingly.
Means no restrictions.
So what we really need is for Cash to bust some balls.
Yeah, no, for sure. And he knows what he's getting into.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he was doing his like swearing in, his wife was laughing, domestic and foreign. Like, you know how they said the line, like, to serve domestically and foreign?
Yeah.
They were laughing domestically because they're like, oh, yeah, we're fixing the domestic.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the things he said. He said, go be cops. You know, you guys are obviously doing way too much.
Yeah.
With, you know, surveilling our citizens. You need to go be cops again.
Yeah.
Go hunt down the people actually doing crimes.
Exactly.
Don't
like,
profile everybody and think they're all crime. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
just because someone makes a mistake, it doesn't make them.
Yeah, I mean,
worst
we go
person.
That route, then everyone's essentially a criminal at a different degree.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you get processed or not, it's up to you. But yeah, it's a mess. It really is. And we're Gen Z. We're inheriting this mess. So what's going to happen in 20 years? I'm calling it now. We can do a prediction. We'll look back in 20 years. Everyone's going to blame our generation for all the chaos.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just like. That's just not the case. We were just born into it. We were actually all born after 9/11. And then it's just like...
Except for me.
Yeah. My mom's son.
I was alive for
were
like
you functioning?
2 months.
Were you functioning? No.
No.
That's the point is, like, we inherited it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what grounds are we going to stop at?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's great that... I just hope that... I think Americans have the ability to understand.
Yeah,
we can accept what happened,
yep.
And hopefully we can grow from that.
We all just need to take a bite of the apple.
Yeah, seriously.
We were born into it. We're more likely to just get fed up with that bullshit.
Yeah.
And so at that point, it's almost on our generation, people our age, to like kind of push that force. Like, all right, we need this fixed. This isn't fair to us. This isn't fair to the people around us, even the older generations around us. It's not fair to them.
Yep. And the only way you fix that is, you know, voting for the people that you think actually represent the same ideas as you. Right
mm-hmm.
now, all politicians are pretty old, and I think eventually we'll get a swing, and maybe we'll see a mass presidency. Who knows?
Sure.
But, like, you know, just some young blood, man.
Younger.
Like,
there's
really
nothing wrong with
young
people. They'll think
the issues,
more proactive.
The real issues right now.
Yeah.
No,
well, I
thinking,
think, yeah.
Not thinking to hold on to power as long as I can if you're old, you know? If you're younger, you're more that proactive sense of, all right, let's build these people up. Let's build this country
yeah.
up. It's
totally. I think in time we'll get around that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this was a good conversation. Thanks for tuning in. This
yeah.
is, I think, our first of many. So stay tuned. We're gonna be
yeah.
all over social soon. We're gonna push that hard, I think. And
yeah.
And
I hope you all enjoyed a
thanks
little taste of the apple.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you guys next time.